Luke chapter 23. If you have Bibles, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 23 verses. I need your attention from 39 to 43. I wish we can go from 33 onwards, but as we don't have much time, let's meditate from 39 towards 43.
Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise."
Thank you, Jensen. As you all know that we are preparing ourselves for our trip to, I need your prayers and support for that. And I know that we are going to visit the place where I'm speaking to you this evening time. This evening, I'm taking you to the place called Calvary. Look unto the place, Calvary. There are many places in the Bible have played a major role in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Many places. Those few names you and me are familiar with are Bethlehem, Bethany, Nazareth, Jerusalem. And there are some places in Judean hillside. There are some shores, seashores where we say the seashore in Galilee. There are synagogues. Not only in just synagogues, he ministered even in the temple, which is the big temple, the temple traditionally. But every places of Jesus' ministry was leading him into a last place. And the last place is not the least place. It is the place named Calvary. Every places was leading Jesus to one place, and that was the place to Calvary. In Greek, for Calvary, they say topos kranion. You don't have to study that. In Hebrew, it says Golgotha, and in Romans, it says Calvary. Calvary is known. The meaning of Calvary is the place of skull. And throughout Jesus' ministry, when he started ministry, he always have mentioned directly or indirectly that my ministry, my life will end in a place called Calvary. And on the same day morning, when he was speaking to Pontius Pilate, he said, "My place is going to end at Calvary." In John chapter 18, 37, "To this end I was born, for this cause I came unto the world. I came to the world so that I will die." So he had a plan that he is going heading to a place where his end is going to be in the place of Calvary. When I'm speaking to you this evening time, when I was preparing this message, I was praying for this message, what the Lord spoke to me, Calvary is a small hill. It is a small, very small hill. People have neglected that place, but people got saved because of that place. It was on the little hillside, but do you know the battle which went at the small hill at Calvary was immeasurable. The battle at Calvary was immeasurable. We cannot count the battle which was happening, you know, at the place called Calvary. It was a place where sin and Satan was crushed off. It was a battle that was happening from ages, and the wages of sin was getting off, concluded. And that was the place named called Calvary. A place which was mostly fighted. And when I'm going to minister to you this evening time, I just want to take your attention to Calvary to show you one most important thing. The pain and the suffering. Jesus took us at the cross, at the Calvary, is because of your salvation. As we are enjoying and exercising, and we are going to celebrate the Lord's table this evening time, we all are going to be the partakers of the Lord's table, is because of the Calvary where Jesus has suffered for you and me. And many times we take it as a privilege. If you can turn your attention to one passage before I'm hitting to this passage. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 22 verses 42 and 43. One prayer which Jesus made before he was getting to the Calvary. Luke chapter 22 verses 42 and 43. Saying,
Father,
if it is your will,
take this cup away from
me.
Nevertheless,
not my will,
but yours will.
Be done. There are times that Jesus thought that he is not able to take this cup. And this evening time, before I'm getting the word, the Spirit of the Lord was prophesying to me, giving me this word to prophesy to you. There are times in your life that you said, I don't think I can go through it. I don't think this way is tough. I think it is going to be tougher for me. But do you know what, you know, the Father have sent, Father have done for Jesus Christ? On verse 43, if you look on verse 43, it says, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him from heaven. Hallelujah. If my Jesus needed a strength to go through Calvary, how much, you know, he is going to strengthen us to take our situations this evening time. Are you with me this evening time? Many times you feel you are alone in this battle. Even Jesus thought he was alone in this battle. And do you know what Father, God the Father, have done? Father, the one who is in heaven, he has sent his angel to charge over Jesus, telling Jesus may not be able to take it. So what should you do? Go to him and say that you can do it. Am I speaking to you this evening time? Many times you say that you cannot do it, but the angel of God is sitting close to you, standing close to you, you know, being close to you, telling this word to you that you can do it. I'm speaking to someone this evening time. The Spirit of the Lord said to me, you know, you cannot withdraw from the situation where you are right now. You cannot back up from the place where you are right now. You came for a purpose. Jesus, you came for a purpose. What is the purpose? You haven't come in this earth to heal the sick. You know, it is part of his ministry. He haven't come to cast out the demons. That is part of his ministry. But for what he came was to die at the cross of the Calvary. I mean, Satan wanted to stop him from that purpose. And this evening time, I just want to say to you, when you were born in this earth, you came out of a purpose. But Satan is trying, you know, to stop you from that purpose. That's why Heavenly Father is charging an angel to be with you, so that the angel will encourage you that you can do it. You are not alone in this battle. You are not alone fighting this battle. The heaven knows your capacity. The heaven knows your strength. The heaven knows how much you can take and how much you can go through. And the heaven is accountable for what he is doing. Can I repeat that word one more time? Heaven is accountable for what he is doing. So he is going to put his angel over you to say that you will do it, you will be able to do it, and you will accomplish it. Can I hear that word from you? I will accomplish all the purpose of God. Come on, release that word. I will accomplish all the purpose of God. I will accomplish all the purpose. Come on. Release that word by faith. I will accomplish all the purpose for what I have been born. Blessing is born with a purpose. You know, Sunil brother is born with a purpose. Vimal brother is born with a purpose. You guys are born with a purpose. Calvary. But Jesus was not alone at Calvary. There were three people who were hanged at Calvary. You may ask me, Pastor, why should we hear about those other two? I just want to point out those two people with our Savior is because that you and me stands with those thieves. The one who was neglected, the one who have accepted, and the one who was dying for them. This evening time I'm going to deal with three major topics. One is the hardened sinner. The second is the honest sinner, and the third one is the holy Savior. The hardened sinner. Hallelujah. Are you with me? So I'm going to focus on H this evening time. The hardened sinner, the honest sinner, and the holy Savior. Amen. Are you ready to go? Can I hear? Yes. Let's get into the verse right now as we read in Luke chapter 23, 39 onwards. We see three different, you know, people at that Calvary. The first one was the hardened sinner. A man who was not able to accept what was happening there. Why did he came to this Calvary? Why did he came to this Calvary? Because he was a thief. Don't tell me he is a sinner now. He was a sinner because he was a thief. Sin was not the major thing what happened. You know, when he was thief, automatically that added sin in his life. So because of his duty, he came to Calvary. Now look his deeds now when he was in the Calvary. He was still mocking Jesus Christ. He was not bothered about what's happening, you know, in that small hill. He was telling that, you know, we are told about this man as a malefactor. What does that mean? He's an evildoer. He was a wicked one. He was blaspheming Jesus Christ. He was telling all the negatives about Jesus Christ. And look at his, you know, derision. What he speaks about was, he was speaking in an imperfect tense, telling that this man has done that and he have to go through it. He was never ready to accept what he had to accept. The man who was so much into hardened. His heart was hardened because his heart had a doubt about the Savior who was at, you know, at the cross of that Calvary. He was having a doubt about him. That's why in verse in 39 it says about if you can go there. Are you there? 39. Okay, it says, if you are the Christ. Look at the word if. Why that word if came? Because he had a doubt in his heart. You know, if you are Jesus Christ. Now listen very carefully. I'm going to connect to you, you know, from the scripture now. If you are Jesus Christ, save yourself and us. I'll just pull out very quickly two things. He wanted to come out of the cross. But if you look at the second, you know, sinner at the cross, at the second thief, what he said was, if you are savior, you know, I just want to say that you just come inside me. A thief wanted to come, you know, he wants to come outside, and the second thief wanted Jesus to come inside. He wanted to say that if you are the savior, you know, you and us will jump from this cross. But do you know what the second sinner, the second thief got? He got an assurity from today, as you have accepted, you know, yourself, you know, into, you know, myself into your heart. From today, you are going to be in the paradise. One person wanted to come out of the cross, and the second wanted to have Jesus inside him. Inside him. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. When I'm seeing the first hardened sinner, I'm seeing the world this evening time. Hallelujah. Look at the privilege this man got. The privilege he got was the Savior is just close by. Even though the Savior is just close by, he missed the Savior. One word was enough for him. You know, he never wanted to be baptized. He cannot be baptized now. You know, there is no chance of, you know, speaking in tongues or, you know, no, or, you know, exercising the gift of the Holy Spirit. Nothing is there. It is just one thing he had to say, that you are Messiah. But he missed that word to say out. And that's why he is still in the hell now. He had a chance as he was on the cross. He had a chance. He had a battle between heaven and the hell. He could jump from the hell to the heaven by accepting Jesus as the Savior. But he missed the journey from hell to heaven by rejecting the Messiah. Even the Messiah was close by with him. And when I'm seeing the world, this is the same thing what made me cry. We as the ministers of God, we as the people of God, when we share out the gospel, when we share about Jesus Christ, still people are rejecting. There are places where gospel is not reaching out. That is a different story. But this evening time, what God says to me, you know, just pray for the people who are heading from hell to heaven, that they need to open their eye to understand who the Messiah is. I'm not here to promote the second thief. Don't get me. I'm not here to promote him. But I just want to show you certain good qualities from him. The first one got a chance to accept, to take a decision that you live inside me. He never wanted that to happen. When he was in this world, he got the first chance to be saved because Messiah was around and ministering to them. He never accepted the first chance. Now look at the small hill, that Calvary, he missed the second chance too. I wish I'm speaking to someone. Many times we miss the first chance and we miss the second chance. Never wait for the third chance. Third chance will not be there. Only the first and second will be with there. So make sure that you use the chance. And this evening time, if any one of you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, maybe this is your second chance. I pray that you will make use of the second chance. Make use of the second chance. He had a way which is, you know, with him. Look, and to those two thieves, you know, one is on the right, one is on the left. They had a way which is on the middle. A way is where, you know, stretching there himself. A way to reach to heaven. But they missed the way where they have to accept Jesus as Jesus is the only way to reach to heaven. Did I say that? Jesus is the only way to reach to heaven. Now listen very carefully. You and me live in a borrowed time. Did I say that? I said that you and me live in a borrowed time because we live in a grace period. Never miss this grace period, because this borrowing time will not extend for a long. The borrowing time is going to be end soon. Make use of the time as the first thief have missed the heaven. I pray that we will never miss the heaven this evening time. But look unto the second, the honest sinner. When I was studying the word of God, this guy is not so, that's so good actually. Did I say that? Don't fight with me. I'll bring verse for that. Mark chapter 15:32. This guy is not so perfect, but something happened in between that I'll show you later. Mark chapter 15 verse 32. Okay, can you read for me, please?
Let the Christ, the King of Israel,
descend from the cross,
that we may see
and believe.
Even those who were crucified with him reviled him.
There.
Now, when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour.
Keep on.
And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Why you have been forsaken me? I'm just pulling out, you know, what was this honest sinner was actually all about? As I said, the first one was looking to, you know, come out of it. The second was actually pulling Jesus to be inside to him. But as I see on verse 15:32, can you put one more time, Mark 15:32, let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. Even those who were crucified with him reviled him. That means the one who crucified them was actually fighting back. They were actually fighting to prove who Jesus was. Even the second sinner wanted to see, you know, who is this Jesus? But all the way when I was studying the word of God, what taught me in this word was, when Jesus was going through the cross of that Calvary, these two thieves were traveling with Jesus. And the silence of Jesus, and the obedience of Jesus, and the character of Jesus, and the system and reply of Jesus have meditated by this man. And he realized this, Jesus is not a normal person. Even though the second sinner was same as the first sinner, he also have neglected Jesus as the Messiah. But do you know what he did in this journey? He wanted to say one thing. In this journey, I have seen who he is, and I have seen and understood what he can do. Even though we were doing sin, he have never have done any sin. But look unto his respond. Even after doing sin, we were responding badly. But look unto him, after not doing any sin, he was dealing the situation very calmly and quietly. In this journey, make sure that people with you will watch over you. It is not the gift what you have to prove who you are, but the fruit of you should prove who you are. Did I say something to you this evening time? Many times we try to show gimmicks. We manufacture things to happen. We wanted to prove what the anointing, what we carry. And we always say that, look unto my, you know, spirit gift and say who I am. But Jesus have never to, you know, if he wanted to show some gimmicks, he could just show the gimmicks like this. He never did anything. He was silent. By his silence, he proved and saved one sinner from the cross. I always say this thing, never try to prove your anointing, what you carry, by proving the gift of the Holy Spirit, by prove the anointing by the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is to have a close communion with God. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is to hold peace. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, there are times that you have to react, but you intentionally shut down your mouth. That is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you have the rights to speak. Even Jesus had the right to speak at the cross. He had the right to come down from the cross, but he never did it. If he did it, you and me may not be sitting in this place this evening time. He shut himself. Why? Because he wanted to prove who he is. But I can say something to you this evening time. Your silence cannot, you know, leave you for a long. Your silence is just for the time being. But by the time comes, the time will prove who you are. I'm speaking to someone this evening time. I'm speaking in the spirit right now. The spirit of the Lord is ministering to me right now. You know, your time is actually eating you now. It's just grabbing you now. You thought that why it is happening like this to me. But this is the spirit of the Lord's warning and message to you. This is the time you just close your mouth. Sit up. You be silent and you hold the peace. And the day is going to come. The Spirit of the Lord will prove who you are. If this is a word for you, just receive the word and say, thank you, Jesus, for this word. Even Jesus is silent, have, you know, brought one sinner. I just love that. You know, the silence, even silence can bring sinners to Christ. What all the soldiers did so that this Jesus will open the mouth? The soldiers failed to open his mouth. Why? Because Jesus was very mature. Did I say that? We all are spiritual beings. We all are spiritually, we are so called spiritually, you know, big people, big shots. But many times we don't have spiritual maturity. I pray this evening time that word you and me will have the spiritual maturity to handle the situations, what's coming in your life, so that it will prove who you are. Look into the life of David. I can just pull up, you know, many people from the scripture. Look into the life of David. Even David had the chance to prove the anointing was which is upon him. He had the anointing of a kingly anointing. In the Old Testament, there are different kinds of anointing. The priestly anointing, kingly anointing, prophetical anointing. Different kinds of anointing is there in the Old Testament. David had the kingly anointing. But kingly anointing have never taken him to the palace. Kingly anointing took him to the desert. But the spiritual maturity of him had to wait for the day that he had to battle with Goliath. Even David was not knowing this is my day. Did I say that to you? You know, David didn't know that this is my day. But the day has come. God had planned. God had destined. God said this is your day. I'm going to prove who you are. Just be silent in this journey and God is about to prove who you are. And your silence and your deliverance will bring someone to Christ in these days. Receive that in Jesus' name. Can I hear a big amen for that? If you can turn your attention to Isaiah chapter 53 verses 7. I just love this word. I love to meditate Isaiah 53. If we can, we can have more time. We can meditate Isaiah 53. Because Isaiah, the prophet who have seen Messiah in the spirit, have beautifully narrated, you know, how Messiah is going to be. You know, Isaiah 53 verses 7. He was oppressed.
And he was afflicted.
And yet, he was afflicted. Yet
he opened
did
not
did
his
you
mouth.
See that word? He never opened his mouth. He was led as the lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before it shredded in silence. So he opened not his mouth. One word is enough to finish this world, but he shut his mouth. One word was enough to create this world, and one word was enough to destroy the world, but still the Savior have shut down his mouth. Why did he do that? He wanted to get you and me to the salvation. Am I speaking to you this evening time? In coming week, I'm going to speak to you about, you know, in coming days, I'm not sure about when it's going to be, but in coming days, I'm going to speak to you about the friendship and sonship of God the Father. Friendship and sonship. That's one topic I'm going to speak to you in coming days. The friendship and the sonship of the Father God, which he gave, entered by giving the Holy Spirit with authority. I'm going to speak to you. Be prepared for that sermon in coming days. So he said he was silent so that he will get you and me to him. Luke chapter 23 verses 34. If you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 23 verses 34. It says, Jesus said, even Jesus could curse them. Many times when we get angry, what we do? We throw glasses. Some of the time, if you are getting angry, the plates will be on air as flights moving on. A380. It's the proof of your angry. Your anchor is so tough. I'm speaking to someone this evening. Your anchor is so tough. If it's to you, receive that word. Just close down your anchor. Your anchor will take you to a criminal state. I'm speaking to someone right now. I'm not looking at your face. Jesus said, Father, Father. Oh my God, I'm led by the Spirit to laugh now. Okay, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. My God, what a heart he has. He was silent. He sipped up. And the next statement, who can do that? That is the love what he has shown at the cross. Early he was praying, Father, I don't know I can go through it. The same person said, Father. At Gethsemane he said, if you can take the cup, please take the cup. But at the cross he says, Father. Am I making some sense to you? The second sinner, he was saved, but I'm telling about his past. Look at his appearance. The man had an incredible request. What was the incredible request? Are you there with me? What was his request? Tell, come on, release that word. What was his request? Where I'm looking at you, where you are going, I just want to be there. He's not going to settle for normal things. He wants to settle to the heavenly things. He didn't want the temporary deliverance of this world. He was thinking about eternal deliverance. Many times your life is missing because you are settling down for temporal deliverance. Temporal healings, temporal deliverance, temporal blessings, temporal jobs, houses. Come on. Can we break the temporal stuff and can we say to God, God, I just want to get into the eternal life. Eternal life. He was acting very wisely. Look into the verse 40. But the other criminal rebuked him. He had the courage, even though when he was on the cross, he had the courage to rebuke the other sinner. In verse 40, but the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear? From where this fear came now? He said, since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds have deserved. But this man has done. This man has seen Jesus throughout the journey. And he got an understanding. This man haven't done anything wrong. By his action, your action will prove who you are. But look unto the Holy Savior. This one statement is what he need. He promised one thing. You will be with me at paradise today. The word which is given as a hope is the word I have for you this evening time. You will never settle down for normal things. When God promises you something this evening time, he says that you will be with me on the paradise. Do you know that you and me are not going to be the spectators in the heaven? Hello? Do you know where is the position we have in heaven? Come on, guys. Where is the position we have in heaven? Yeah, Robin knows it because he got it from me, I think. Okay, where is our position in heaven? We are not going to be the spectators. We are not going to be on the audience side. But our promise is to be on the right hand side of the Father God. Why we have the surety? Because Jesus said it is good that I'm going to be with him. I'm going to be with him. And when I'm going to be with him on the right side, I will make sure that you will sit with me. That means on the right hand side of the Father God, we are going to be. I don't know who will be there on the audience side now. That's not my business here. But I can assure you that your position in heaven is on the right hand side of the Father God. Are you not happy? Some of you are not. I think you're not going there. Never mess your life. Come on, never mess your life. This is the evening that the Lord is promising you. He is giving you a promise that you will be with me. And the beauty of his word is his word is a never changing word. His word will never change. When he says yes, it is yes forever. Your friends may change, your family may change, your mother may change, your father may change, but the beauty of God, he will never change. That's why he promised us, till the last day of your life, I will be with you. And this is an assurity which is given to you, that till the last day, you will be with me. Two things what he promised. One is the grace. One is the guarantee. Two things he promised at the cross. One is the grace. Second is the guarantee. First one, you will be. That means you will exercise my grace. When he said paradise, it is a guarantee that you will be with me. He never said that, okay, I am the God, so I think you have a different position. No. He said, I am the God, that's why you will be with me. It is an assurance, it is a guarantee. And that guarantee is leading us to cross this evening time and proclaiming and declaring that Jesus is the Messiah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. The Spirit of the Lord is speaking to someone. I feel on the backside, back row, the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to someone that this is the evening that you are called to come to the presence of God. You are called to come to the presence of God. You are called to come to the presence of God. Declaring one word, this is your night in Jesus' name. I see in the spirit some of the names are writing down in heaven this evening time. Did I say that? Some of your names are writing down in heaven. Did I say that? I'm repeating that word right now. The Spirit of the Lord is speaking to me right now. Some of your names are writing down in heaven. Why? Because this is the evening. God guarantees you that you will be with me. He never promised years later you will be with me, but he promised you today you will be with me. His guarantees are always lively. It is always fresh. It is always timely. And he says that from this day you will be with me. As we are getting to the Lord's table right now, I just want to say the last statement. If you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, this is your evening. Never miss this evening. Two people had the chance at the cross. One have neglected, rejected. The second one accepted. Your rejection and your neglection can take you to hell, but your acceptance can take you to heaven. And just one word is enough for your salvation. Jesus, I believe that you are my God. Come into me. That's all what we need. We don't want anything further other than that. That is the first step you are going to take this evening time, telling Jesus, come unto me. From this day, I just want to have a life with you. This day onwards, you are my Savior, and I just want to worship your holy name. From this day, you will be my master. I am not a slave to the sin, but I will be a holy person, righteous in the eyes of God. And from this day, I will follow Christ. The small hill which took the greatest battle, which was from ages to ages, the wages of sin, declared, he is risen. Calvary, the pain is for a time being, for salvation is forever. The pain is for a small time, but the deliverances are forever. And the pain which he took at the cross of that Calvary is not a small pain. I'm not reducing his pain. You know, his body was pierced badly. His hands was, you know, the nails which went through his hands broke himself completely. You know, the crown which was kept on his head, it was like, you know, something was coming down, you know, pushing him very badly into that pain. But still he was silent and silent and silent. He said, I'm taking this pain so that you will enjoy this love from me. And that agape is calling you to God this evening time. If you are ready to accept Jesus as your Savior, the Master is ready to grab you out, and he just wants to take you and to say that you are my child, you are my son, you are my daughter. From this day, your name will be written in heaven. Can we close our eyes right now? Heavens have given even chances to the two thieves, but the one at the cross have neglected. The second one at the cross, in this journey, he have accepted Jesus as the Messiah. He said, from this day, I just want to be with you. From today, I just want to be with you. I just want to have fellowship with you. I just want to be on the place where you are. Just one word was enough for him to take him from hell to heaven. If that one word was not there, he would have messed his life in this journey between the hell and the heaven. But just one word shifted his direction from hell towards heaven. Your one word is enough to shift your future. Your one action is enough. You may have been doing a lot of good things in the past. You may have been doing a lot of, you know, good things for the society. It's not counting for your salvation. Good deeds will be counted for goodness. That will be counting for goodness. But for salvation, there is only one way, is to accept Jesus as your Savior. To surrender under his feet and to say, from today, I will be living with you. You may have a lot of good positives, but your positives will not take you to heaven. One word is enough to take you to heaven is to accept Jesus as your Messiah. Choose the one who have been in the Word of God, with the Word of God, release the Word of God, missed Messiah. I pray that none of us will miss Messiah, the only Savior. As in Acts it says that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is the only Savior, only Lord, only Master, and the day is coming. And I pray this evening time, none of us in this hall will miss Him. As they had a second chance, God is giving you a second chance. Don't take this lightly, please. Never wait for a third chance. Maybe second chance will be the last chance in your life. Make use of this chance. Just make use of this chance. God is watching your heart. You may not be showing any outward expressions. That's fine. But your inward expressions is enough to prove who you are. Oh, I'm speaking to somebody right now. I just want the church to pray with me. The most important time for a church is the salvation process. I'm dealing now with that now. So I just want the church to pray with me right now. The most important thing in ministry is salvation. It is not healing. It is not casting demons. It is not anointing. The most important ministry of a church is salvation. This is the time the Lord is calling some of you to get close to that Calvary. To say, Abba, many times I have rejected you and neglected you, but this evening I just want to call you to my life. Second thing, I just want to pray for you right now. As the Spirit of the Lord is leading me right now, maybe you are saved. Some of your family members are not saved. I'm giving you a time to cry for them. Just close your eyes right now. I don't know where is your dad or where is your mom. I don't know where is your brother. I don't know where is your sister. I don't know where is your cousins. They may be around, they haven't been saved yet, but this is an evening. What I'm assuring you, your prayer is enough for their salvation. Your prayer is enough for their salvation. Your heart is always wanting that they will be with you in heaven. Come on, cry now. Oh, Ram Shandere. Maybe you cannot be traveling this evening, maybe I may not be able to to them this evening time, but your cry is enough for their salvation. Just pray for them. Just take their names and just pray for them. God the Father, just pray for this person right now. Let the salvation happen. Let the deliverance happen. Come on, guys, pray now. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And the third thing I just want to pray for you right now is some of your family members who have already accepted Christ, but not living according to the standards of the Word of God. They once accepted Jesus as a Savior, but they left the standards of the Word and they are living as a worldly person. But this is the evening you can cry for them. If you have some names popping up, just take that name right now. Release a word of blessing. Release that. Let them come back to the Lord. Release a word that they will realize the Savior's hand and the love this evening time. Because as we are heading to the Lord's table, it is all about love. It's all about love. It's all about love. The love at the cross. The love at the Calvary. The love which He has shown by giving Himself for us. Father, we just want to say thank you.